length that brought you here.
We are on the air! Yes, we are. Our Board Wrestling Fan Radio episode 147. We've been doing this far too long, I think. I'm Think So Joe, along with JT.
Yep.
Mark.
Hello.
NG.
Yo.
And we do this every week right here on Board Wrestling Fan Radio. BWFradio.com, 2 p.m. Eastern, Sundays. No matter what football game's going on, yeah, whether we want to or not.
Wait, what?
Whether we want to or not.
Something. Oh, whether we want to or not. Okay. Yes, I didn't hear whether we want to.
Whether we want to or not. Yeah. Here we are.
Yep.
So, it was 2 months too late, but the SmackDown 15th anniversary was this week. Anybody watch it?
Well, that was some kind of special show.
Yeah,
so I didn't feel
I watched it. I enjoyed it more than Raw. Raw was interesting to say the least.
Oh my.
It had some highs and some incredible lows. And we got to see two brand new characters buried by old people. Mm-hmm. Yay! We also got to see two drunken women pretending to be irrelevant.
Yeah.
But on SmackDown, what we saw, which was cool, was while he came back and more or less made their top heel look like a little bitch, on SmackDown, he had a nice little exchange with Triple H. That was a pretty entertaining segment. He joked around about the first SmackDown and about how Triple H beat The Rock. And I guess if they actually want to, they could play off of that later down the road if they want even more old people to come back at WrestleMania and continue to push their new talent further down the card. There's kind of ups and downs with these Rock segments, you know? Like, he came out, he did his spiel, I was enjoying it. I'm like, right on, this is kind of fun. Didn't expect this. Well, not too much, even though Rock was cited earlier in the day. And then, now Rusev was kind of looking like a little bitch. So, you know, and the big debate, I want to ask you guys about this, is, would you go so far to say is he buried Rusev, or he just made him look weak and kind of hard to forget that image, if nothing else? What do you think?
I think the word buried is thrown around way too easily, but he certainly made him look weak. I mean, Rusev couldn't maybe lock an accolade on or something, do something other than sit there and get punched in the face.
I mean, that, but that's just it, though, is all he did was get punched in the face and knocked out of the ring. It's not like Rock, you know, knocked his ass out or anything. He just, you know, embarrassed him, I would say, but I wouldn't say he buried him.
Let me tell you something, people. The Rock does for the people what the people does for the Rock.
Okay, then.
Okay.
I'm sorry, G, but I found that segment on SmackDown to be incredibly boring. It started out okay, but then it just went on for 20 minutes too long.
I'll agree that it went on too long. I wouldn't say it was boring, but I think it went on too long. I did fall asleep shortly after that, but but that was during the 15-man tag match, player.
That was great.
You know, it's funny. You know, it's funny because, you know, I'm still in 1996 land and I'm still watching Nitro. And it's funny because he comes out and he's a manager. He manages all these single guys. And I'm sitting there thinking in the back of my mind, I'm voicing out, man, I wish this was a tag match player. Because you can see he's got like his depressed look on his face. Like, I wish I was making this a tag match.
It's a 15-man tag match, and all 15 guys are on Booker T's Fave 5.
I don't think we got a Fave 5 reference.
I don't think we did, but like I said, I fell asleep during the match. But I did post on Twitter that all 15 of these guys are in his Fave 5.
It would have been awesome if you did make that reference.
Yeah.
A lot funnier.
At least we got a shooky ducky quack quack.
We did.
That we got. That was good. That was. I don't know. See, I didn't expect anything on this show because they really didn't announce anything in advance. So I think that's why I liked it. What can you do?
I enjoyed the show. I got in late, and you know, I ended up, but I ended up watching most of it. I fell asleep, like I said, during the tag match, so I missed the Ambrose and Cena segment at the end, which I probably could have gone back and watched, but I just didn't feel like it. I got a lot. There's a lot going on around here, and I know G's got a lot going on around there too. So,
yeah, that's too bad. You know, yeah. Ambrose talking segments are always must watch.
Oh, I bet.
If nothing else, you know, if you're gonna watch anything, if you were to go back, even with John Cena in the ring with him, he finds a way to bring out a better side of Cena, even though there's still groan-inducing lame jokes.
Who's torturing a cat?
There was a cat?
You didn't hear the cat?
That would be Joe because he's trying to hide it from himself.
I'm still eating breakfast, man.
Now, my cats aren't in here, so it'd have to be G.
No.
I think it was Mark. I think Mark was going to confess to
it. Mark, I was trying not to accuse you.
I don't own a cat. A cat from next door, I think I've trained him not to come into my house using barricades and small little explosive devices.
Yeah, that'll work.
I call him Stumpy now. I think I hear something dragging around outside. Oh, there he is. Oh, he's got two now. Oh, well.
Well, I saw our good friend, friend of the show here, Andrew J. Reimers. I saw him perform last night. And we set the date for his next return, which is going to be November 23rd, the Board Wrestling Fan Radio 3rd Anniversary Show.
I can't wait to see what you got planned. Other than that, that sounds good.
Yeah, we're working on getting some more, but that's the first announced guest for that episode. And he gave me a little preview last night at the show of what he's going to be doing, and looking forward to it. So that's going to be cool.
At this rate, George could be classed as a special guest.
Yeah, it's been so long since you've been here, right? I kind of cleared off the area on his table in case he gets here, in case he shows up. He owes me money. He better show up.
So he will never be heard on the show again.
Yeah, that's why he's not coming back.
I saw him Thursday. I saw him.
He can pay you back.
Yeah, I saw him Thursday night, and he's like talking about how he went to the store and he spent like $75 at the store, and no mention of, oh, by the way, here's the $13 I owe you. oh well. Yeah, I thought SmackDown was you know, for an anniversary show, I thought it was pretty lackluster, honestly. You know what I mean? Like, there was some good points and the bad points, yeah. And you know, but it wasn't.
Now, I have one question. During the look back, what was the deal with a guy wearing a plastic face mask?
Guy wearing a
plastic. Because there's a look back and someone ripped a fake face off.
Sure.
That just sounds amazingly terrible.
Oh, I know what he's talking about. He's talking about Eric Bischoff.
It was Bischoff under the
at the wedding, the Billy and Chuck wedding.
Yeah, with the 3-minute warning.
Yeah,
they used to have a gimmick called 3-minute warning, which was Rosie and
Jamal.
Yeah,
I've heard of 3-minute warning.
And he basically was pretending to, you know,
he dressed up
minister or whatever, and it was just a big ruse because Bischoff and Stephanie were like butting heads at the time. So
yeah,
there you go.
That was
the deal.
That was during the Battle of the Brands.
Yeah, well, I'll elaborate even further. Is Billy and Chuck? That's Billy Gunn and Chuck Palumbo. They were having a romance of sorts. And
it was the original bromance.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to culminate in a wedding on SmackDown. Enrico had set it all up. He was their personal stylist. And it was supposed to be just a publicity stunt. But Eric Bischoff and Enrico were working together, and Eric Bischoff was dressed up as the minister. And, you know, They stop the wedding. They're like, this is supposed to be a publicity stunt. He's like, I don't care if it's if you're together for 30 years, three weeks, or 3 minutes. Wait a minute. Did I hear myself say 3 minutes? And he pulls this, you know, fake face off, and 3 minute warning come out and destroy everybody. Except for Rico, because he's on their side.
I'm glad I wasn't watching back then.
It was actually very entertaining. It's far more entertaining than anything you're watching now.
Yeah, no. It couldn't have been as bad as Hoda.
Well, okay. No, I don't think anything was as bad as that.
Bad as what?
Hoda. Oh, come on. They can't be that bad. Oh. They're always drunk.
Okay. I don't need to see a 61-year-old woman and a 50-year-old woman drunkenly dancing around the ring and smashing bottles over each other's asses.
Yeah, I think we all agree with that. That
was to send the music up.
That was self-deprecating to the whole point of their awareness, and it made Joan London look kind of bad in an indirect way, when what she did was actually the right way to do it. If you're going to be charitable and just come out and talk about, you know, her own struggle and talk about the survivors and move along. It's a wrestling show. But yeah, that was crap.
I agree with you entirely. I think, I think there's a place for the Joan London segment. You know what I mean? Because they're doing this awareness thing. She has breast cancer and she's promoting awareness and she's telling her story. There's a place for that. But it is completely diminished by having Hoda and Kathy Lee do a 20-minute in-ring segment that has no point whatsoever other than, hey, we're drunk. I mean, I know they said, oh, Hoda's got this charity to donate to or some shit like that. But nobody remembers this because they were drunk and smashing bottles over each other's asses, and it was a waste of time. I'm sitting at work watching Monday Night Raw. I'm drawing a picture. I look up from my picture that I'm drawing and I say, what in the hell am I watching?
Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, apparently so. So I don't know. It takes away from the entire rest of the show because you don't remember anything else that happened other than, okay, yeah, The Rock came back and embarrassed Rusev. What else? I don't remember.
That was it. That was
they brought
show.
The poll back.
They brought what back?
They announced the poll is coming back.
The poll?
Yeah, Dean, Cena and Ambrose
Putsky,
are having a
Scott
poll.
Scott Putsky's coming back?
They're not having a poll.
Cena and Ambrose are having a contract on a poll match.
No, that's not what it is. It's just a regular match.
No, it's a contract on a poll match.
When did they say that?
I'm fairly sure I heard someone say that.
Did they hire Vince Russo and not tell anybody?
No, I think they were just clearing out Stanford for things to sell, and then they saw the poll and thought they could get one more use out of it. I'm sure I heard that, and it wasn't some fever.
No, it was on SmackDown, I think, wasn't it? The whole expired contract on a poll match.
Thank you.
I just looked it up, and I don't know if this is what actually going to happen or not. I mean, who knows, right? I mean, it might end up being a hot dog cart on a ring match, but
okay, I see
that also happened.
Sauerkraut and mustard and ketchup.
I see that on the Hell in a Cell Wikipedia page. No holds barred contract on a pole match, and then they've only got two matches announced, which is that one and the Seth Rollins versus the winner match.
Well, of course, Rock versus Rusev. They'll announce that on Monday.
Oh yeah, sure. I'm sure they will. Yeah.
And of course, Kane versus Squashed Flower match. Wow, they dropped out Adam Rose big time, eh?
Yeah.
I think he's done. I think they're done with him. I don't know how he comes back after that. He looked like a total joke.
Well, it's been an embarrassing week for him because he was part of that Hoda segment.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad. But, you know, if speculation is correct, Vince McMahon really does not like him at all. So... look what they did to Emma again this week. They brought her back, and she's basically the same retard who's awkward in the ring. And it's just not working, man. It works in NXT, but it doesn't work on Raw or SmackDown. I don't get it. I don't understand the transition, but what works sometimes you think is kind of hokey, like Bray Wyatt. If you really look at it compared to like Adam Rose's thing, they're kind of the same deal in a way. They're both kind of off the wall with a really strange philosophy, possibly all on drugs, right? Don't deny it. There's been references in the Bray stuff with the hallucinogenics and the imagery, right? Yeah. And they have their like little entourage that seem to be brainwashed, and yet one is way better than the other. It's weird because they're not that far apart. Of course, one can make the case that Bray Wyatt is not doing much right now either. And what do you guys think about them possibly breaking up this Wyatt family thing? It doesn't seem like a total breakup to me.
Oh, I haven't looked through the document yet here, but I would imagine that we have some news about possible replacements for Harper and Rowan.
Nothing confirmed, so I didn't bother posting it.
Okay. Well, the rumor being that the Ascension are going to come up and be the new Wyatt family.
Oh. Well, I guess they're big and slow.
I could actually live with that.
They are big and slow and lumbering, so they kind of fit right in.
The main thing they need is a manager.
The problem is, though, Bray stole their gimmick. He has the entrance.
Yeah.
I wonder how the lights would work with their lights, though. I would kind of secretly like to see that at least once. That could be a neat visual.
Oh, well, we might get to see it. It might happen.
You know, as much shit as I give Ascension, and I do it mostly just piss off Joe, that would be cool. That would be a cool visual. I don't know. I guess that might make sense. You know, we've heard about the Ascension supposedly coming up for months now, and they had a couple matches, at least one on Main Event, that really went nowhere. So, I guess I could buy that if it's going to happen.
Well, they wrestled Los Matadores.
I think Eric Rowan's kind of fucked, though, here, if you go solo.
Uh-huh. Luke Harper's going to do fine.
Yeah, I think Luke Harper, he's got a good chance of doing okay. I mean, obviously, the booking is the ultimate decider, what they give him. I mean, not everybody can be Damian Sandow and more or less steal the show away from the guy he's the gimmick for, right? Wow, that was something that happened. That New York crowd totally put over Damian Sandow.
Yeah.
I remember that. No,
oh,
that
yeah.
was good.
And it happened on SmackDown, too.
Yeah.
But it was definitely more apparent on Raw just for the whole match.
Yeah.
The Sandow's
it's
better
true,
chance.
No one likes Miz.
Nope.
Not even his parents. We've seen them on the show. Come on.
Being very unconcerned about him
really
getting his ass kicked.
Not give a damn.
Yeah. That's my point. Got it.
Like, oh, is this the part where I'm supposed to look sad?
Even John Cena's parents saw more than that.
Have we ever seen John Cena's mother? I know we've seen his father.
I don't know.
Sure, we've seen both of them.
I don't know.
Didn't his dad get beaten up by Jack Swagger or something?
His dad's gotten beat up by Jack Swagger, Randy Orton, Edge. Edge went to his house and beat up his dad. Anybody catch the 15th anniversary Edge and Christian awesome special, whatever the hell that was called?
Yeah, I saw that last night. I enjoyed it.
It was great.
Yeah, I still don't have the network.
Neither do I. they did what we were thinking they were going to do, is they just shuffled the other show down a week or two, I guess. I didn't see any mention of that at all. So next week, what's the Monday Night Wars theme? Does anybody know what's that all about?
No idea.
Nope.
I could probably find out.
The history of sexual chocolate.
Could be.
That'd be good.
I'd watch it.
Yeah, it'd be something different from all the same stuff that they rehash at us.
Yeah, it would be, honestly.
Like, seriously, how many times have we heard about the Montreal Screwjob, the NWO, Nitro?
The Attitude Era, Stone Cold Steve Austin, yeah.
You know, do something different. Do the evolution of, you know, the tag team feud between the Hardy Boys, the Dudley Boys, and Edge and Christian. You know, do something like that, you know.
Exactly.
Or the corporation, or the corporate ministry, or you know, do some, yeah, we just the same dribble, or the hardcore title. Come on, do that.
I'm looking right now to see if I can find out what the Monday Night War episode is here.
Have they reached a bit where DX drives a tank yet?
Yeah, that was in the DX episode.
I bet that got replayed to shit like it always does.
Looks like it's the Rise of the NWO episode is going to air this week. Oh, no, wait, that's 10 a.m. I want 10 p.m. There we go, 9 p.m. info. That's not what I clicked. I don't know, the app doesn't want to tell me.
Surely from 8 till 11 they should just play a screen that says you should be watching Raw.
Tuesday at 9 p.m. it says WCW signs international, and then when I click on info it's like watch the first airing on WWE Network, which is Vince McMahon telling you thanks for buying the network or some shit like that, right? Hold on, I'm going to pull this up.
Well, international could be, you know, the whole WCW with their deal with New Japan, and because they have their whole matchups where they've got Sonny Ono and he's bringing on all these Japanese wrestlers, so.
And then suing the company for racism.
Yeah, well, WWE certainly never does anything racist, so.
Oh, not at all. I mean, you know.
And they'll tell you all about it for only $9.99.
Yeah.
Oh, next week will be the best of Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And his manager, the Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Boy. And for all the shit they gave Alberto, let's not forget that technically he retired Edge.
He did. If you want to be technical.
I mean, he lost, but still.
Yeah.
He was credited with retiring him. I miss Edge.
Yeah, everybody misses Edge. I miss his war on stupidity. He'd be fighting the entire roster right now.
Be a losing battle.
He'd be fighting the entire roster except for Dean Ambrose. Yay, awkward silence! That works well on a radio show.
Just really sad now. Realizing how shit wrestling is.
Yeah. And that we take time out of our weekends every week to do this and talk about this shit.
Well, I finally got to Hogan turning on WCW and becoming the third man in the New World Order.
Yay.
Yay.
Speaking about old content being rehashed.
I'm surprised at how much I missed. I don't remember from that, because I finally got to, because I don't remember a lot of it, and I finally, like, I got to the episode where Hall and Nash are beating everybody up, and then they threw Rey Mysterio into the side of the trailer. Excuse me. And I remember watching that part, that stuff live, but I don't remember anything else on that show. I'm like, holy shit, you know?
See, I am, like, far behind you. I just got through SummerSlam of 1994 and got to watch The Undertaker wrestle The Undertaker. Yes. That happened.
Yeah, I know. I have it on a couple of things. I have the DVD, the pink DVD that says The Undertaker, he buries them alive. That's on there.
Oh, jeez. I didn't realize they actually put it out on any DVDs collections.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a collection. It was just a single DVD. It was like $5 or something. I found it. I was at, like, it was years ago. It was at, like, I think FYE, what it's called now. It was called something. It was before it was called FYE, but it was called FYE. It's what used to be known as FYE. And I'm like, shit, I'll buy that. It's The Undertaker. It's got, like, Quang, and it's got, like, Jerry the King Lawler. It's, like, probably some of his just worst matches he could probably ever have, but you know what, it's an hour long DVD. We'll make some money on it,
right? What the hell? They've detected suspicious activity on my Google account. That's fun.
Yeah, they're probably going to make you change your password, I bet.
That's what I'm doing right now.
I had to deal with that a couple weeks ago. It's not fun.
Yeah. Well, I've also got it set up so that it sends me verification codes if anybody tries to log into my account. So that's weird that I'm getting that. So,
so someone's hacking. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's good to set all those things up, though. They're handy. Same thing with Facebook or any of those other things. I've had to deal with those on a number of occasions over the years. Those phone notifications aren't that bad a deal. And if you're worried about telemarketers and stuff, I have a real good trick for you. If you don't recognize the number, don't answer your phone.
Yay, exactly. That's a good trick.
And if they know you, they'll leave a voice message.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
I just literally do not answer my house phone.
Well, that's good, too.
I let numbers I don't know go to voicemail, and if they don't leave a voicemail, if they leave a voicemail and it's a collector or a salesperson or something, I have a blocking app on my phone, and I use that to make sure that it doesn't ring if they call me again.
Nice.
It's the fan hammer.
Yes.
The fan hammer. To bring it back to wrestling. How about a burning hammer? Top rope, drop the hammer. Ooh, yeah.
That's my friend Inferno Johnny Adams' finishing move.
Oh, yeah. Macho Man's elbow?
No, the burning hammer.
Randy Savage.
The burning hammer.
Ah, don't let John Cena find out.
Yeah.
You can't see me.
Just imagine John Cena touring the Indies just to bury every single one of them.
The sad part is if for some reason he ever left WWE, that's exactly what would happen.
Yeah.
Well, we've got former WWE superstar John Cena on the show tonight. Like, oh great, who's he burying?
Oh, the whole roster.
He's gonna have like every indie championship.
The Ultimo Dragon all over again.
He's gonna go to every indie promotion. He's gonna beat every champion. And that's
the 2CW champion.
But yeah, unlike Ric Flair, he's not gonna make him look good in the process. So we got a pay-per-view. What's this on tonight?
This morning.
Oh, this morning.
It's already probably been taped and finished at this point.
Sweet. Can we still make predictions on it, though?
Are they airing it tonight? Is that what's going on?
It's a replay.
Okay. Because I haven't been paying attention. I don't know.
Can we still make predictions on it?
Load up Wikipedia first here. Yeah, we could totally do predictions.
Bound for Glory 2014.
I'm going to go 100% here. Or you can just do the results.
Yeah, I've got the results.
there's really no... there's no storylines really outside of a couple matches attached to any of this actual card. But there's probably going to be some like good matches. So I'm going to, try to read a review at some point later. It won't be today because I have Thanksgiving after this show, and then the more important pay-per-view is the Walking Dead premiere, unfortunately. So
hells yeah. Okay, just a quick question. First of all, thank you for messaging that dude. I don't understand why he couldn't just copy and paste what I posted on.
Yeah, I have no clue either, man.
It's like, dude, he's like, message me, dude, copy paste. Really, not that hard to do.
I think he might just want to have a message thread with your picks in it, because you can change your guys every week.
Okay.
If you want. As long as you do it before the show airs, like if someone dies and you want to swap a new person in.
All right.
So.
For those who don't know, G and I are in a, what is it? Is this Fantasy Walking Dead type deal, or
Yeah, we're just having fun with it. I don't know how easy it's going to be for this guy to track the numbers. We'll see if it's around after tonight's episode or not. But that's what it is. Yeah, just for kicks. There are points for like kills or people dying or escaping zombies. Not much different than a fantasy pool for a, you know, a sport. And they have these things for other shows too. So, like wrestling.
Yeah, but there's a comic for The Walking Dead. Can't you just cheat?
No, because it's totally strays. Yeah, JT's right.
Is this series nothing like the comics then? Well,
yes and no.
The original story.
Yes and no. It's not
what
like...
She's actually read the comics, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I've read almost all of them. I haven't got... There's fucking a ton of them, actually. I've read about 100 of them. They use elements, and some of the characters follow similar paths, and some don't. Some on the show died a long time ago in the storyline. Some characters don't exist. So it's cool because unlike Game of Thrones, you can get spoiled, and The Walking Dead, you can't. So, you know, that's one of the reasons I haven't read the Game of Thrones books, and I'm not watching it now. I'm going to wait a few years and then just go and try to marathon it, because I figure by that point my short-term memory will have me forgotten all the things that have already been spoiled online. It's just, it is what it is. I know the show is probably supposed to be really good, and it's right up my alley for things that I enjoy, so I do want to watch it, but since I know too many of the main plot things that have happened, now at this point I don't feel I'll get the same enjoyment out of it until I forget those moments. The Walking Dead, the comics can't spoil you, but social media sure as fuck can, so I'm going to be watching live.
Yeah, I've had a few. I've had a few shows spoiled because of not watching them live and not Walking Dead. Because that's the thing. That's one of the things I've always made sure to do is watch Walking Dead live. But I've had some shows like this year's MasterChef got spoiled for me 3 days earlier in the week because, you know, who won, but I kind of kept it quiet because I knew who won because some people in my house didn't know, so I didn't want to. But yeah, it kind of ruins it when you know who wins. It's like, God damn it.
Yeah. It's the nature of the beast we live in. Like, I'm of the mindset that if you don't want to know, it's your job to stay off social media. It's not other people's job to protect you.
Well, it wasn't even social media. Social media that ruined this for me. It was listening to the radio on the way into work in the morning, and I tried everything I could to switch off of the radio. And when I turned back on, they just, oh, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, fuck. Really? You had to ruin this for me.
There's always going to be something in this day and age, right? So if you really cares about something, whether it's wrestling or a television show, you kind of have to watch it live. If it's something that you know you'd be okay with, it's okay, so be it. I know the end of the hockey game for the teams I'm not really, you know, that invested in or something. Oh well, you know. So I don't know. For me, you know, major wrestling events and The Walking Dead are probably the only two shows that I'm gonna make sure don't get spoiled for me outside of Oilers hockey games. And it's nice to live in a non Oilers market. When you live in the rival market, usually the only time you hear about the outcome from people is when they really lose badly. Because they want to rub it in. Poor team got bruised. Team got Rusev tonight, man.
I'm actually doing my fantasy hockey right now for the rest of the week.
The thing Brock really jobbed though was kayfabe, because he posed for a picture with Rusev and Lana backstage.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, The Rock kayfabe decides
died a when, long, long time ago.
The Rock decides when kayfabe is dead. The Rock decides kayfabe is dead. The Rock says kayfabe is dead. If you smell what the JT Rock is cooking. Awkward silence.
Yeah. All right. I think that takes me up to next week for my fantasy hockey. I have not been paying any attention to my fantasy hockey at all.
Oh wait, were we gonna talk about the pay per view, or are we just gonna like say okay, it's already happened? We're not gonna.
It's already happened, man. Like okay. I got the results okay. right in front of me.
I just wanted to make sure. I know. We started talking about it, and then we derived because of spoilers. So I just wanted to make sure.
Look, this company needs all the help they can get. So I'm not gonna go into spoiling their pay per view so nobody buys it.
No, that's fine. I'm totally.
You know what
with
I mean?
That.
Like,
I'm cool. Waldo Geraldo Faldo says coo.
Yes.
Yeah, we would be certainly, you know, dicks going on a rant about spoilers.
And then spoiling and then, it. Yeah, exactly.
Someone listening to the show is actually going to pay for it. I think the big question, and again, we won't discuss results, will be how close the results to the pay-per-view followed Wednesday's show. And that we won't know until Wednesday, right?
Right. Because they've taped these upcoming shows already, right? In fact, haven't they taped through the end of the year?
To November 19th.
Okay.
I've heard rumors that they have booked some live events in January, and I know there's apparently still the UK thing happening, but there's no word at all on what Spike is going to have on Wednesday in primetime between after November 19th and the end of the year. I haven't heard any updates. I've heard, you know, theories about Spike not showing it at all, or they're doing clip packages, but that kind of seems like, you know, something you would not want on prime time would be like rerun. But I don't know what else Spike would show.
I don't know why we're getting static, but we're getting static.
Or cell phones too close to their mics.
I'm holding mine as far away from the mic as I can.
It's not me, because my cell phone's in the living room of my house, so.
And mine, it never goes off, so I always forget to mute it, but it did this time.
I heard Joe. I heard a ding on Joe's.
Well, it's even if the ringer's off, there's a signal that transmits waves. If it's near a microphone, it actually disrupts the diaphragm of the mic. Talk Talk, every Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern.
Well, see, that was the problem with the old mixer. Was the old mixer was just terrible when you would have a phone near it. But this is the new mixer, and I haven't had any problems like that with this mixer. But
The casings are probably better insulated.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Thinking of ringers going up, I think my phone just went off because I heard the Super Mario Brothers theme. I thought my girlfriend was playing it. my phone rang tone. Dope.
The call is coming from inside the house.
It possibly could be.
No, my phone was yelling at me because I had just changed my Google password a few minutes ago. It's like, no, you have to put your new password into the phone too. Which means when I get off the air here and I grab my tablet's going to tell me the same thing. That's a pain in the ass, but better safe than sorry, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I'm like literally, like I just woke up like 15 minutes before the show. It's just like, okay, I got to get up and I got to eat. I got to get something to drink. And I gotta get into the studio, I gotta get everything set up for the show. And so I haven't done like anything. So I'm on the air here, like checking my email, doing my fantasy hockey, now I'm doing the time hop thing. Just like I'm doing everything except paying attention to the show. But
what's time hop?
Time hop. That's I don't know if you see the things that people post on Facebook where it's like, oh, 2 years ago you posted this on Facebook.
That's just stupid. I'm sorry, Joe. It's getting stupid.
I like you're my.
You're not the only one that does it.
Oh, I know. I'm not. Like, I don't
care what you said 3 years ago. I don't fucking care.
I pick and choose what I post. It's not like I'm posting every single one of them.
I haven't been paying attention enough to see that, so probably not something I'd be into myself, but whatever. Teach their own.
Yeah.
I can always block or unfriend those people if they really annoy me enough.
Exactly.
Is it like an app that I could block if it was annoying, or is it just people that are really going?
Yeah, no, you could probably block all updates from TimeHop.
Oh, cool. Okay, so problem solved.
Like for example, this one. I'm not thrilled about having to work a Saturday night, but anytime I can blame things on Pearl Jam, I'm all for it. Why is it so busy in town tonight? It's a holiday weekend in two countries. Pearl Jam is playing in Buffalo, and there's a Bills game at home tomorrow. Yep.
So you hate Pearl Jam. The truth has finally come out.
That truth came out a long time ago.
What do you hate about Pearl Jam so much?
I hate the fact that I know Eddie Vedder can sing, but chooses to sing badly. That's like the one thing I really truly hate about Pearl Jam is this guy will have a song like what's that one? Elderly woman in a phone booth chasing kids with cars or some stupid shit.
Elderly woman behind the counter in a small town.
Yes, that great song. He'll have a good song like that where he sounds amazing, he sounds great, and then he'll put out another song where it's like, even flow. Like, dude, don't sing through your throat. Like, that's a no. Don't do that. Like, I hate that. That
you
annoys
don't like
me.
Falsettos, I take it? That's a falsetto. It's kind of... No, I'm just curious. I'm not a huge Pearl Jam fan. I really enjoyed the first few albums. I kind of fell off with them many years ago. But I'll make a mental note that all future song request picks will be even full for me.
Yeah, feel free.
I'm not against them at all. I just think of far many more bands and artists that I have more issues with.
Oh, yeah, I mean, but there's other artists like that where it's like, okay, I like when you sing like a normal person, but then mm-hmm. you start doing some other stupid shit and you sound retarded like Led Zeppelin. Yeah, I just broke the internet with that one, didn't I?
Yeah, it's okay. I don't. I could care less about Led Zeppelin too. So.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm not the only one.
It must be a November 13th thing.
I guess.
All right. I'm just jotting down songs to pick here. It's cool.
I can tolerate their songs. You know, gee, I think they're one of the bands that they've been way over. They're overrated. They're more overrated than, you know, they're not as great as they're overrated. They're not as great as the people. Everybody, Led Zeppelin. I don't give a fuck.
I agree with you on that. I do think they're overrated.
And that's exactly it. I think they're overrated.
I just, but there's plenty of music by them I enjoy. I mean,
I have the greatest hits.
Come on,
album.
I listened to Good Times Bad Times this morning on my iPod at the gym. But granted it was Godsmack's version. But I still listen to the song. You know, I'll still sing the song every time I hear that version of it.
I have Led Zeppelin's greatest hits on my phone, so it's not like I hate them. It's just that kind of annoys me that I know he's a very good singer, but then he. Shut up, dude.
But no, I understand. About you and Pearl Jam, because they after about I think 96 they've been like hit or miss. They've either put out a really good record or a really bad record. You know, it's they've kind of failed to stay consistent.
I think
it is what it is. You know, it's music, it's taste. I was just curious. I had no idea. You know, you had the disdain, and I understand where you're coming from now.
I mean, I love the song Stairway to Heaven. Okay, that's a great song until he gets to that like high pitched later end of the song verse. Like, dude, shut up. Like, that's enough. Okay, you're done now. Get the hook. You know, you were okay up until this point. You know. I also hate the Rolling Stones. And Kiss.
Oh no, really?
Everyone hates
you hate Kiss.
Kiss?
You hate Kiss? No, really?
I don't think that was much of a secret.
You hate Kiss so much that you get wrong about what their biggest hit is. you always run around how did there?
Isn't
I was made for a love
on rock and roll.
No, that's Starship. No, yeah. Kiss's biggest hit is Bath, because that's the one that won Grammy. But Joe will go out, oh, well, this one made number 9 on the charts. It doesn't matter what the chart is. It's what actually, you know, what the sales were. I know Beth was a bigger hit. It sold the album.
The charts are based on the sales. You know,
so...
It's based on sales and airplay. I Was Made for Loving You was Kiss's biggest hit.
No, it wasn't. They're more known for Rock and Roll All Night, which is that's the song you were thinking, Mark. They were more which yeah. as a Kiss fan, I cannot stand Rock and Roll All Night because I've heard it 850 bazillion times. And their biggest hits are Rock and Roll All Night, Beth, which they won Grammys for. Forever, which I think is a bigger hit, that which I think probably charted higher than I Was Made for Loving You. And God Gave Rock and Roll to You Too.
Which actually was one of the best parts of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
No, it was Bogus Journey.
Series, yeah. I consider it the Excellent Adventure series because I'm hoping for the trilogy to come complete. But Bogus.
I believe they are making a third one.
There once in a while I hear about it too. So I don't know.
Station.
Yeah, Station for sure. I really do hope they do that. I don't know if Keanu and Alex Winters are both like on the same page about doing it though. That's the deal. It's from what I know, last read about it. But it would be cool to see a reunited before Wayne's World. We had those guys.
Yeah.
It was quite a mindfuck when I realized it was Keanu Reeves. Because I had no clue. I'd only seen him in The Matrix.
I forget sometimes. You're a little younger than us, Mark. But we're like G Mark and I, we're G Joe and I are from where we saw him at Bill and Ted, mm-hmm. and then he went from Bill and Ted to what he's become. It's like, wow, because you see him, okay, oh, look, there's the guy from Bill 10.
I saw what he became before Bill and Ted.
Here's another movie. Oh, wait. This guy can act, and it's like Bill, Alex Winter's like, what's he done? He was in an episode of...
He was pretty awesome in Saving Private Ryan, if I recall. Remember, he was a sniper dude.
I haven't seen that. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, well, he definitely has not had the same career. There's no denying that. Keanu went on to much further success, but...
Wasn't he in, like, one of the Young Gun movies, too?
Alex, he might have been.
Yeah, like, he didn't have, like... I think he was in an episode of Psych, too. I think they brought him in for something because he directed a video. I saw him on something recently, within the last 5 years. It was kind of, maybe it was an interview show. I think it was something along that line. It wasn't Psych, but I think it was like something where they interviewed him. Actually, no, I think he was on The Daily Show. They interviewed him for The Daily Show, and he like directed like a video, and that was like the most recent thing he did in like 10 years.
Yeah, he hasn't done a lot of films. He did Freaked, which I have seen. I haven't seen that in a long time, but that's actually a good movie. It's kind of funny. He's got 21 director credits. Yeah, he's done a shitload of directing, man.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is older than me.
Oh, there you go.
That makes me feel pretty young, because I remember watching that movie as a kid.
I remember watching that movie as a kid. I was a kid when it came out. Yeah. Hey, Bill, if we don't make it out of here, you can have my Megadeth collection.
Radio silence.
I need to watch those dead air. Now.
Well, all this talk about music, why don't we get into our break song? Mark?
Well, yeah, we're seeing as we've... Oh, Bound for Failure, because no one seems to think this will ever be a success. Let's have something that is successful from Japan with some Japanese music. This is Love Phantom by the Bees, which is B'Z. I've been told on good authority it's pronounced Bees.
Okay, so then in that case, Bees on Board Wrestling Fan Radio. Bees WF. Ha ha. Wrestling Fan Radio 147. That song was called Love Phantom, and it was by Bees. Bees. That's an interesting name. B apostrophe Z.
Mm-hmm.
What would the Iron Sheik say about that? JT, that's your cue. JT's
I think it's just the two of us.
I don't think JT's back yet. Hmm. So, Mark, seen any good wrestling matches lately?
Well, I did see one on Impact.
Sorry, 4.5 minutes goes by too fast.
Yeah, there he is. There's JT.
I actually had my my mic on mute. I was talking and it was like I always put the brick song on the stereo and go grab a coffee and stuff so I can hear when we're coming back, right? And then I'm like, oh, we're back, because I don't know the length of the song a lot of the time, so yeah. I kind of have to, you know, monitor it. That was a neat song, actually. I kind of dug that.
Had a nice little groove to it. I was enjoying it.
So is this the normal genre, Mark? That it's the bees, right? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd say that's their normal genre.
So they're kind of mixing together.
I said it was J-rock, but there's dance elements as well and things.
Yeah, I can hear that. I don't know the Japanese scene too well. I used to listen to a bunch of punk rock from Japan, though. Back in the 90s, there's a few of their bands got onto some American skate punk labels. Some neat stuff. I like how the scene out there is a little bit more along the lines of like Pennywise, like kind of bringing in metal and electronic influences to the punk rock. And I kind of hear that electronic influence in that Bee song there. I like that. Yeah. There's certainly some like analog instrumentation going on, so it's a good blend.
Wow, and
there's my music review.
Probably like better as it were.
This might actually be an album I can find on Amazon to actually, you know, sell on our, on our, you know, on our store here. Maybe.
Just maybe, eh?
So, I heard you saw a good match on Impact.
Well, there was one. There had to be at least one, because the main event was pretty good.
Yep.
But that was it.
I was hoping we would talk a little bit about that, because that might be the very last time we see the Dudleys and Team 3D in a match like this ever. It could be. We can't know. And holy shit, was that a good match.
Yeah.
They gave up.
I gave up on reviewing it because so much was happening.
Oh, yeah. It was like everywhere you looked, there was something going on. It was not literally and totally nonstop action. And if that's the swan song for these guys, I mean, yeah, we could go back, you know, talk about first TLC and all that, but this was good. This is up there. I don't know where it would rank on my all-time list. I don't think I want to even try to make one. Guys were putting their lives at risk, like they did on Impact this week, but they gave it like a full half hour, you know, of the show pretty much, and I thought they delivered quite nicely, so.
Yeah, it was excellent. And the only thing the crowd really came alive for, too. And I think I've heard that was the last match of the last taping, so that was the very last thing those fans would have seen.
Yeah.
So they probably went home pretty happy.
Yeah, all the next episodes was going to be like out of order, so it's going to be kind of weird. And they had like,
yeah, that caused a problem with this week as well, because, I mean, Spud was fired and then instantly caught out. And apparently that was when Brodus Clay came in. Which
yeah,
is why they had to cut so quickly.
That's what I heard as well. I don't know. See, that's why I was saying that the biggest question, regardless of the results, which we won't spoil, because it is so taped out of order. That's kind of what I was wanting to get at, and then we ended up going to music talk, which is fine. We do that on this show. But that's what, you know, their post-production team really has their work cut out for them. And whoever the poor bastard actually trying to write this is, as much shit as people give them, like, I would not want that job. Like,
yeah, I think they typically do a good job.
Yeah, well.
The only, except for, of course, when Gunnar's dad was killed and then the next week he's in the crowd because he was there before that segment was filmed.
It's the operation.
There are some little mistakes, but for the most part, I think they do a good job. It wasn't really their fault that they filmed two EC3 segments right next to each other and they didn't have the gap they needed. Because Spud being fired is something that should have simmered for a second.
Yeah, they're right. There was no chance to reflect on that moment, considering the characters have almost been in tandem for about a year, it's been about a year. EC3 debuted about a year ago, so I don't remember exactly when.
I think he's had Spud with him for most of that, if not all of it.
Yeah, pretty much from the get-go, for sure. That segment was actually pretty good, too. I'm trying to remember. It's been a long week. Seems like years ago, but I like
I enjoyed Spud being a bit of a subtle dick, saying, "I know you hate it when the crowd chant, 'You can't wrestle,'" which, of course, made them chant that. But he's trying to be nice.
Yeah.
And when he's like, he disagrees, he's very good.
Backhanded compliments. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And of course, the way he came back from, like, you know, "You're a loser," and he's like, "No, I'm Rockstar Spud." It's like, it's the only time, well, I shouldn't say only, but it's definitely one of the few times where him being called that name actually, like, really resonated. Because it's the perfect retort. "I'm a Rockstar, you son of a bitch." Right?
Yeah, but at the same time, it was pretty sad to hear a full-grown man shout, "I'm Rockstar Spud."
Yeah.
If it was, "I'm a Rockstar, you bitch," that would have been better.
That's true. That's true. Although, full-grown man, I don't know. Are you sure? Sure he's fully grown? I'm sorry, I'm making a short joke.
He's 31, yeah. Jesus Christ, he is. He's only 5'4". Wow, that's smaller than most people I know. But he's still the perfect size for the X Division.
Yeah, that's true. I don't remember seeing too much out of him in the ring, so in the next little bit, I'm assuming we're going to get a match between him and EC3, and we'll hopefully see them again in January, because they are one of the things that's going to be left on the show that I certainly would want to tune in to watch. But not to be too pessimistic, but just realistic here. I mean, this might be the last pay-per-view and has the TNA name attached to it ever.
Well, EC3 debuted on October 20th and Spud became the, what do you call it, chief of staff in late November. So it wasn't that long that Ethan was there before he was paired up with him.
Yeah. Huh.
No, it says they were paired up in the fuck? It now says they were paired up in April 2014. You just... God only knows. God only fucking knows. But they've both been around for about the same time.
Alright, well, there's our TNA talks. I know JT's there getting into character. He's pounding back the beers. Getting all shit. Cheeky.
God damn you. Assholes. Always when I'm not ready.
Not ready. But I got a ticket to JT Land.
We all ready to do this, fuckers?
I love how you can hear him drinking. It's just great.
You want to hear it some more? JT Land. We on the ride to JT Land. Don Zimmer shit on the announcer from the heaven now. Susan Rice, you and the Ray Rice and the North Koreas can go fuck yourself. I love the Goonies. Fuck your SATs. And Amanda Bynes. I beat the fuck out of you and your dad same time, WrestleMania 31. Fuck the Kalish Starati, Iron Sheik deserve fucking # Nobel Peace Prize. Happy birthday, John Lemon, but your wife Yoko Ono have the sushi tits forever. Question for you all. Who ready for the NFL and NHL and the cold beer?
NHL!
Gene, I've been ready for NHL.
I know. That's why I put that in here. What movie better, Ghostbusters 3 or Jennifer Lawrence, your kangaroo tits look like mushrooms 4?
A tough call.
Ghostbusters, good, but that fucking green, ugly fucking bastard Slimer, break his fucking back, make him humble. Stephen Collins, you fucking dumb son of a bitch. I see I take you to seventh fucking hell, you jabroni cocksucker. Jennifer Lawrence, get the fuck over yourself. Jennifer Lawrence, nobody wants to see your Rice Krispie tits anyway. Ray Allen, your head the size of one of my balls, go fuck yourself. Hashtag why I'm single. Because you are dumb, fucked up, no good, low life piece of shit jabroni motherfucker. Hoda, have sex with the Mr. Fuji and then she be happy. Here's for the Canadian fella. Hello, Kylie Rae Jepsen. Don't you ever fucking call me. Raymond Simone, thank God somebody fuck you, because I never in a million years have the sex with you. And this is a good one to end it on. Kathy Lee and Camel Clutch, give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
And always good night, go fuck yourself.
All right. Well, let me get back to the actual un-Chris Cooley'd document here. Because we're going to give a shout-out to AngryMarks.com and CheapHeat.com are great sources for wrestling news. And, of course, Alice at RWRPodcast.com. Our boys at BookerTees.com, BookerTees.com, at BookerTees on Twitter. You know the drill by now. And, of course, Edge and Christian's 15th anniversary SmackDown special. And G has a note here.
That was a pretty good highlight episode. It only goes to show you how good the chemistry between these two are and were in the segments. And, why do you dislike Christian on this special, Joe?
I actually didn't dislike Christian on the special. I thought, you know, it was great the way that he and Edge play off each other, and always was. Just when you get him by himself, you know, he has his moments, but lately it hasn't been there. But now that he's, you know, pairing him with Edge again just reminds you why the guy was actually good in the first place.
Mountain Dew flavored bubblegum.
Yep.
That would be the thing of a nightmare for you.
Yep.
So yeah, I know what Joe hates.
Yes, he does. He does.
I listen. I might he pays my attention. Pool, but I listen.
Forbes rated WrestleMania the 8th most valuable brand in sports with an estimated value of $105 million. For comparison's sake, the NCAA Final Four March Madness is number 5 at $144 million, and the NFL Super Bowl, of course, is number 1 with $500 million. The Rock wasn't in the original script for Monday Night Raw. He was out of the show late because he was already in New York City and willing to make an appearance.
Which makes you wonder one big burning question we didn't talk about real quick here. Would it have not been a little cooler to see The Rock maybe work with his cousin who was advertised?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to like fight him or anything. Just go have a little fun segment with the guy. How you doing? Cuz, you know, we want to go out there and wrestle. Oh, no, surgery or something like that. Oh, well. Things that make you go, just giving them a wacky challenge.
Yeah, speaking of challenges, put this one on your list of wacky challenges. The Great Muta says he'll attack The Rock the next time he comes to Japan. That's an interesting... I didn't hear this one. This is... Let's see. Let's
hit the translation. I didn't know the full story.
I am the strongest, I whispered to the Daily Sport of professional wrestler Keiji Muto. Is the 6th attack plan. Target Dwayne Johnson of Hollywood star coming to Japan for the first time in 12 years. The promotion starring film Hercules of the 24th. Johnson reigning also Matt charismatic wrestlers. Yeah, this is like badly translated. I'm not reading the rest of it.
Terribly, terribly translated.
Legend of the Japanese world of professional wrestling has declared war to be stand waiting to wash your neck. That's, yeah, okay, that's a bad translation.
Better than I could do. Thank you, Google Translate.
The Rock personally requested, by the way, not to do anything more physical than what he did on Raw, which meant no people's elbow, no rock bottom. It kept Rusev strong to a degree and was good booking and may also limit whether or not he could be involved at WrestleMania 31 and risk an injury that could hurt his movie career. And apparently the word didn't get out that The Rock would be on Raw because the show did 3.8 million viewers and a 1.2 rating in the 18 to 49 demographic, down 6 and 16% respectively.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah. Tommy Dreamer's big announcement is that House of Hardcore will make its promotional iPay-per-view debut at House of Hardcore 7 on November 15th at the ECW Arena, and that Beulah will make her last ever ringside appearance there.
Ooh, this one's good.
The Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels appeared at a NASCAR event this weekend. In a regrettable related piece of news, related only by it being HBK, he's now the spokesperson for a brand of herbal snuff, which is manufactured by a producer of tobacco chew, which should tell you that one is essentially a reformulated version of the other. We're not in the business of free advertising, but for factual purposes, and since you could Google it anyway, here's what Mr. Hickenbottom had to say. Smoky Mountain Herbal Snuff has been a great product that I've incorporated into my life. As someone who has spent their life and career dedicated to staying healthy as well as being cognizant of what I put in my body, Smoky Mountain fits into that category perfectly.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
It's a shame he gives no fucks about the outside of his body, as evidenced by his huge beard and lack of decent clothing.
Hey, you got a problem with huge beards? Yeah.
No.
Just okay, then.
You shouldn't go out on national TV looking like a hobo in thigh-high fishing boots.
Fair enough. Michael Elgin has finally resolved his work visa issue and is back in St. Louis with his family. He'll be on ROH shows again starting this Saturday in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I would imagine that meant last night. At Ring of Honor, I said this, and this is from Michael Elgin. At Ring of Honor, I said this on our call. Thank you for getting me back home. But an article doesn't fix lies and damage done. I quit. Keep in mind, this may, of course, all be a part of an elaborate story or work.
It continues.
I first want to say thank you to all the supporters out there. It has been my pleasure to perform for you. I want to admit the quitting on Twitter is a little childish, but I don't want to be advertised for a show I won't be a part of. I will give kudos to ROH for rushing to get me back home. For that, I am grateful. I was trying to reach a full understanding that would allow both parties to move forward. Nothing was agreed on.
Psst, Elgin. Go to Florida.
Yeah. Chris Jericho tweeted,
"Now an epic moment.
All right, Jerichoholics, how are you? And when I finished my last run in the WWE in Nashville,
it's a secret. See the entire exclusive video when you download the app. It's
a which secret. We're not doing because we're not in the business of downloading apps either. But he confirmed he's returning to WWE in November." His new book, Best in the World, At What I Have No Idea, comes out next week. Jericho's return in November is currently only for live events on the European tour, but they may work out some TV taping dates for him to appear as well. So you thought it was bad with Hoda and Kathy Lee, right? NeNe Leakes will be the host of Raw next week. NeNe Leakes of the Real Housewife. I don't even know if I'm saying that right, and I really don't give a fuck.
Is it NeNe or Nene?
I really don't care.
I've heard it's Nene.
I don't care.
Banana.
Yeah. Of Real Housewives of Atlanta fame, if you want to call it that, will be the guest host for next week's Raw from Atlanta. I guess she's famous in Atlanta or something. And G says,
fast forward through that shit for sure.
Todd Chrisley of Chrisley Knows Best will join NeNe Leakes as a guest host for next week's Raw.
Who the fuck are these people?
Josh Reddick says he might be at Raw next Monday.
Okay, this is getting fucking stupid now.
Isn't he the fucking singer from Bowling for Soup? Or is that a different guy? I think that's a different guy. I don't know who Josh Reddick is.
Josh Reddick is a baseball
player. Oh, he plays for the Oakland A's. Okay. Or is that the A's? I can't tell. Yeah, that's the A's.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Well, does it say A apostrophe S?
Yeah, it says athletics.
Yeah, that's the A's. That's
yes, I know that's the A's.
Well, because the thing is, I know the Braves logo is an A too. So you can legitimately be confused with the logo.
Yeah, but you can't confuse the colors. Plus, yes. My uncle's an A's fan, so I'm very familiar with the A's logo.
Hey,
Jarrett Reddick is the singer for Bowling for Soup, by the way.
Who the fuck is Bowling for Soup?
They had a big hit a few years ago with the song 1985, which was a cover of a song by SR-71.
Oh, yeah.
They were my teenage years.
I love Bowling for Soup, man. I saw them a while back. I want to see them again. They're awesome. Kathy Lee Gifford didn't appear to be a fan of wrestling in her 1992 book, I Can't Believe I Said That. Among other things, she says of her then co-host Regis Philbin, I have a problem with Regis' wrestling thing, and that Rick Rude completely grossed her out. On his clingy, nothing left to the imagination Lycra tights, he had painted my face over his crotch. He stood there, hands behind his head, thrusting and flexing, half naked. It was so gross I didn't know what to do or where to go. I put my hands over my face and I ran up the stairs at the rear of the set. And to the surprise of no one, Kathy Lee Gifford admits she was originally against appearing for WWE. And then there's an article.
So was everyone else.
There's an article, but it's gone, and it says 404 error. Uh-oh, looks like this page is misbehaving. Please enjoy pictures of super cute kids as our apology. No, that's okay.
That is actually what it says.
That's literally what it said when I clicked the thing.
It's a link to it. It doesn't show you the kids. You have to go look at them.
You have to...
FBI page or something. I'm checking this out.
You have to click the link to the super cute kids. I'm okay. I don't need to look at super cute kids.
But they're super.
Okay, it's safe. It's not an FBI link.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm not on a list.
Kathy Lee also tweeted out, I screen capped a tweet, but I think it's probably still on her thing.
Beautiful.
Yeah, she was on SmackDown on Monday.
Yeah, I saw that. It's in the comments of our document.
I remember saying, they're already drunk.
Yeah.
Because... For those who don't know, I know I explained it to you guys. That's what their gimmick is on the Today Show, is that they drink the whole time. They're on the 10 to 11 o'clock hour, and that's all they do is drink, I guess. And excuse me, they did a 2012 when the Daily Show went live. They do their live election coverage. They were in the intro, and they're basically saying, it goes to Kathy Lee and Hoda, and they go, "We're already drunk."
Nothing says we're not alcoholics like drinking in the morning.
Hey, drunk by noon, but that's okay. She'll be president someday.
Yeah. E will air two episodes of Total Divas this Sunday and next Sunday, which means if this season has as many episodes as last season, the finale will go head-to-head with WWE's Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Ooh.
Always interesting to see what the ratings are like during these things.
Didn't SummerSlam go head-to-head with Total Divas?
I think it did.
Yeah, and it got higher ratings as it went on. Go figure. Yeah. So we'll find out what happens at Hell in the Cell. Like I said, it's interesting. If that happens again, I don't know. But it could.
Well, a lot of the smarks are tuning into Total Divas to see Brian.
True.
No. They'll tell themselves it technically counts. There's a wrestling pay-per-view on and they're watching Daniel Bryan. It counts.
That's pretty sad if that is the logic. If that's what you got to do to justify yourself watching Total Divas, then okay, fine, whatever.
No, I'm sorry. Nothing will ever justify anybody watching Total Divas. I'm sorry. That
exactly.
Has to be said.
I watched one episode.
See, my wife is a fan of the show, and even she's like, this show is getting really stupid. I don't think I'm going to watch it anymore.
And you know what? It's your wife. That's what their demographic is supposed
exactly.
to be.
Exactly.
I hear one of the ridiculous storylines they have now is that Brian wants to borrow money from Cena, even though they're both fucking millionaires.
That would be pretty fucking stupid. I have no idea. I haven't seen the show since season one. And I don't plan on watching any more episodes. Big Show disrespecting the Russian flag on Raw and WWE apologizing to Russia over it was all part of an angle. Russian news did cover the story, but only as a minor item, and nobody was up in arms over the alleged disrespect.
K-pop.
Yep.
And they don't even know it's fake.
Yep. Let's see. It's believed right now that the vignettes airing lately on Raw for the Wyatts are an angle where Bray sets Luke Harper and Eric Rowan free to do their own thing while bringing in the ascension of NXT fame as his newest disciples. I told you it was probably in the notes.
I may or may not put those in there myself. I don't remember. Sometimes. It's been a long week.
It's and again, fame should be in sarcastic air quotes.
Well, for Rowan, anyway. Karma / Awesome Kong talks about her new Kickstarter project. Karma in general has been something that I live by. You get out what you put into the world. I've always tried to live by that. So I started a Kickstarter that is a website that could actually track the good deeds you do. So if you went out and bought a cup of coffee or tea for some reason, there would be a serial number or member number that would allow people to log into the website and track your good deeds. She also says she would rather go to ROH than back to TNA, and that a dream opponent for her is, ironically, since she won't go back to TNA, Mickey James. The Washington Redskins were not reached for comment.
That was a great South Park episode.
I gotta get back into South Park. I don't watch it as much as I like. I'll watch like up to the end of last season, and then I will start watching this season when this season's over. Which is probably a bad way to watch South Park, since they are very topical and like timely.
Yeah, that episode still is fresh enough. If you go check it out, it's the season premiere.
Okay.
And that's all I'll say. I won't spoil that for you. That one made me laugh.
I seen like clips from it where the guy's in there and he's trying to, he's like, you can't use the Washington Redskins name. Like, yes I can. let's see, CM somebody was backstage at the OVW show on Saturday, but only spoke to Rip Rogers, Trailer Park Trash, and Cliff Compton, who won the OVW heavyweight title that night, incidentally. He left later with Compton and was never seen by any of the fans in attendance. The Walking Dead returns tonight with the debut of Season 5. There are conflicting stories about CM Punk. One side says the TNA made him a big money offer, similar to what Hulk Hogan received as a TNA star, with a promise to make him the focal point of programming through an intermediary friend of Punk's. He flat out turned them down and said he has no interest in returning to wrestling. The other side talked to TNA, and they called this BS, saying no offer was made, and that friends of Punk have scoffed at the idea he'd ever return. Whereas Kayfabe News are reporting he signed the deal and walked out. Which they actually reported months ago.
It's always relevant.
Triple H tells Sam Roberts that, quote, personality is the reason some guys get called up from NXT faster than others. Personality.
Oh. Get on your knees.
I like how they use Sam Roberts on the WWE Countdown show. Like, what the fuck has he ever done that I haven't done that I can't be on this damn show? I host a wrestling podcast too, you know. I digress.
His name is Sam.
Yeah.
I am Sam.
But his Twitter handle...
Retard.
But his Twitter handle is not Sam. Anyway.
Flat Sam. Jet Sam.
The WWE revealed that for only the second time in WWE history, the 2015 Royal Rumble in Philadelphia will feature 40 competitors.
I like this. This probably means we get a bunch of NXT guys.
Well, you realize why they're doing it, right? And I before I even saw the news article about this, I saw somebody...
Roman Reigns can throw out 39 people.
No, I saw somebody hypothesize about this on Facebook, that the reason that they're doing this is because you realize who won the last 40-man Royal Rumble. It was Alberto Del Rio.
It was Del Rio.
So He can't be the only one. That's why Rey Mysterio has the record for longest time in the Royal Rumble, and that's why somebody's going to win a 40-man Royal Rumble this year. Next
just
year,
just like how they made Orton the youngest champion ever.
Right.
Yeah. And now they're pals.
Hey, who was it before Orton?
It was Lesnar. It was Lesnar before it was Orton.
Yep.
That's when he pulled the original CM Punk.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but he, of course, was pulling a Bret Hart, but Bret screwed Bret.
Right.
Who, of course, was pulling a Lex Luger. And a Ravishing Rick Rude.
That is a terrifying visual image.
Well, yeah, it's a circle jerk, my friends. And even worse, some of them are
cock
dead.
Cock.
M-O-O-N, that spells circle jerk.
Speaking of South Park, episode 2 of the season, you gotta check that one out, JT.
Is that's the Ebola one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
M-O-O-N. Oh, I don't know how it all comes back. But I saw that right away. I'm like thinking, I wonder if I should PM JT right now, make sure he's seen this episode.
Well, I can't watch it. I don't watch on Wednesday nights anymore because, like, obviously I'm working.
Yeah.
I'm working, so I don't watch them live. I can't watch that one. I can't watch live anymore, so.
Yeah, I had it DVR'd as well. I don't remember. I think I watched it on Friday. I don't remember anymore.
I haven't watched this week's one yet, so.
No, me neither. I wonder what board wrestling fan radio reference we're going to get. Someone's listening.
Well, they're going to be in Syracuse next week.
There you go.
The Book of Mormon play Syracuse the 21st to the 26th.
Okay, well, the Mini playing Mascarita Sagrada in Lucha Underground is the fifth person to wear the mask in the last 25 years. This version is the brother of WWE Mini, El Torito.
Family's taken over.
Indeed. So is it like a family? Is like their parents like minis? Is that why they're both? I don't, like, how's that work?
Pretty sure it is not genetic at all. There might be like the occasional chromosome though, and you got like, you know, percentages of chances. I don't know. It's a good question.
It's weird though that there's like two of them in the family, right? I mean, that's not. Anyway, I don't know. The word going around is that TV networks being shopped Impact Wrestling are skeptical about signing a deal with TNA because, one, Spike canceled the show even though it had a good audience and a good rating, and two, potential networks believe that mismanagement in TNA will prevent Impact from ever growing in the ratings.
Yeah, it's sad, but
well, for the record, dwarfism is genetic.
Okay.
Achondroplasia, whatever, is caused by mutation. So one kind is genetic, one kind's a mutation.
Okay.
Technically, El Torito may be an X-Man.
Maybe.
That's kind of cool because I'm watching the guy from the X-Men Next Gen sell cars right now who plays Beast. He's in a Jaguar commercial. While you were saying that, I'm like looking at this guy and you just help me figure out who the hell I know him from. Yeah, it's fucking Beast, man. Nice.
I'd buy a car from Beast.
He's a smart dude. Yeah, you know. Making some coin off the Jaguar ads. Obviously, Professor X doesn't pay very well.
A new WWE Network promotion is coming around Thanksgiving, which will promote it as the perfect Christmas gift for wrestling fans.
So, I guess basically it's today. Merry Christmas, everybody. In Canada, it's Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So you get see God damn it. You see, this is why Canada's better than the US, because their Thanksgiving Day, they get a full slate of NFL games. We only get on our Thanksgiving 3.
And we get the Walking Dead premiere.
And I don't give a shit, because this year on Thanksgiving we get the Niners and Seahawks.
Oh god.
Anyway. Since SummerSlam is coming to the New York, New Jersey market next year, WWE is expected to announce a big pay-per-view for the Staples Center next year, sometime soon, to replace SummerSlam. Do you really think it's necessary to have one in the LA area when they're having one in Santa Clara? You know, the big one, WrestleMania.
It's probably because they make a lot of money, that venue. They seem to want to go there so often. It's probably true. Just all about the gates.
Yeah.
That's also why, you know, population density, you know, in New York area, you guys are going to get a lot nearby. It makes sense. It's kind of annoying when you don't live nearby and you'd like to go, but
yeah,
you know, money pays the bills. This company does need the money, so
yeah.
So I'll just keep stealing the reviews to help them out.
Do they have? here's the question: where do they have it in the New York, New Jersey market? Do they have it at Giant Stadium like they had WrestleMania, or do they have it at the new Yankee Stadium, or do they have it in the Mets Stadium?
What I understand is they're going arena for this one, in that it's going to be either MSG or the Barclays Center, or the Izod Center, which is a very, very tiny building.
I don't understand why they would do something like that. Yeah, like I said, go for something like that. If they need money, I would say go for one of the bigger ones, because you get more people. Because if you go to like MSG or like you said, the tiny buildings, you're not going to get as many people.
I would like to see it in an outdoor venue in the Northeast because, yeah, like, it's summertime. It's summertime that they're doing it, because it's, you know, like WrestleMania was like, who the fuck has an outdoor wrestling pay per view in April in the Northeast? But then you're gonna come back to the area in August and have your event at the freaking Izod Center, which is tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, that was one of the best shows I've ever been to in my entire life, but that building is freaking tiny. I don't think
I'm more interested in what the event's gonna be, because if you have SummerSlam in August, that means the other summer month it would either be June or July, and Money in the Bank's July, although that could just be one match on a new card of a new, you know.
Oh, I know what it could be. I was watching it last night.
Judy Bagwell on a pole match?
No. Road Wild.
Oh God, no.
The return.
No.
Actually, I was watching Hog Wild. It was Hog Wild was the one I was watching last night, but they changed it to Road Wild.
Those were the events where they had like the biker gangs be security and stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a smart idea. PG.
Oh my God, no. Please,
think
no.
Think of the children. They could learn from firsthand how to be a star.
We're good, clean family entertainment.
Only if you have Jay Leno wrestle on the freaking show.
Oh, for sure.
That's the only reason to bring back that pay-per-view.
Put him and Arquette in a cell.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Snooki can be special guest referee.
Yeah. Oh, well. After a WWE production truck initially leaked that SmackDown was moving to Thursdays, and both Sci-Fi and WWE denied that it was taking place, it looks as though the move is on again. Sci-Fi sent out a press release saying that their new series, 12 Monkeys, would debut on Friday, January 16th at 9 p.m. Eastern, which, of course, is right in the middle of SmackDown.
I'm actually more interested in what 12 Monkeys is. Does that have anything to do with the film?
That's what I was wondering, was if it was going to be anything to do with the film. I would imagine so.
I hope so.
Well, the National Wrestling Hall of Fame and Dan Gable Museum announced that Brian Blair is the first honoree for its 2015 George Tragos Luthez Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, and will receive the Luthez Award, given to an individual in wrestling who has taken the skills of the sport into the realm of public service. G says,
I expect at least one Iron Sheik tweet about this. Clearly his publicist have dropped the ball.
Yeah, I that's the first thing that popped in my head is B. Brian Blair. Okay, where's the Iron Sheik?
Yeah, exactly. So, holla, 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 player, you want to buy some drugs?
I actually tweeted on Friday night while watching SmackDown, like, Teddy's got the Viagra, who's buying? Teddy Long admits he got in trouble for selling Viagra to wrestlers backstage at a cost of about $10 per pill.
You gotta buy two at a time. Yeah, gotta buy two at a time. At least.
Uh-huh.
And then you have to go face The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Hey, man, and you got the Viagra.
And if Undertaker isn't in the building, it's one-on-one with Randy Orton.
That's right.
Billy Corgan's reality show for AMC is dead before it even got off the ground. The Resistance Pro Wrestling-centered show was the victim of budget cuts. Aw.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed in that, too. I was curious, you know, to check that out if it was like a documentary as they were initially proposing. I thought that might be interesting.
You know what I'm disappointed in? I'm disappointed in the fact that our break song this week didn't have anything to do with this last news article here. Wow, last news article. It's only like 20 to 4.
Actually, I found a whole bunch. I didn't get around.
Oh, well, then
to,
in that case,
Sunday news.
Okay, in that case, with this next news article, I'm disappointed our break song didn't have anything to do with it. Brian Christopher Lawler, a.k.a. Grandmaster Sexay, has released a rap album on iTunes. This CD consists of several hilarious song parodies plus some great original music. Included on the CD are the songs Going Down, which Brian uses as he makes his grand entrance to the ring, Puppies, featuring Hall of Famer Jerry the King Lawler, Memphis Thang, a tribute song written by Brian about classic Memphis wrestling, plus Brian's good friend Rikishi makes several cameo appearances on the CD. Brian Christopher not only performs all the songs on this CD, but also co-wrote most of them. This CD is a must-have for any wrestling fan. You can download yours today or purchase one through CD Baby or at any wrestling event where Brian is appearing.
That's why I put it at the end, because speechless, man.
The only reaction I got was somebody just snickering at it. That's great.
I'm checking it out. It's called Bringing Sexy Back.
Yeah, I saw that. I like this unintentional shower thought you have here. Puppet H was once the offspring of Triple H and the Katie Vick mannequin. That's just...
Oh God, it's awful.
Oh man, let's find this. Let's do this. It's on CD Baby, so cdbaby.com.
I'm on iTunes.
I'm not pulling up iTunes. My computer's slow enough. What is it on? Brian Christopher?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Brian Christopher. See, I told you my computer's slow enough. We're still waiting for it to load. Oh, here we go.
God, I thought I couldn't sing.
Okay, let's see what we got here. This is, let's see. Puppies. We'll click on puppies. Let's see what we get here. Everyday hounds. I really like them puppies. Soon have four. A bunch of little rabbits always making more. She's got an old cow that's getting big. Chickens and ducks and a pot-bellied pig. Some have feathers, some have fur. Do you bite or do you purr? Oh, you... What the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was bad.
Oh God, here's some of the comments on iTunes. Brian Christopher's best work since the series of match with Taka Michinoku. This CD is as bad as his wrestling career. It's going nowhere, not worth a dollar, much less 10. What on earth just happened here? I mean, my God.
Wait, can I point out that on CD Baby it says this album is recommended if you like Big and Rich or Weird Al?
Here's another one. I'm at a loss for words after listening to this album. I'd like to bash you and tell you about how horrible it is, but this album has attained a level of cringe, including pity and empathy, I've never experienced before, thus making it difficult. Just look at the album cover. It screams D-bag, and the music on it is only an amplification of that. Brian Christopher, you are horrible in the ring, and you're horrible on the mic.
I'm looking at the album cover right now. It says Bringin' Sexay, and then it has back written backwards because, you know, he's clever like that. Hold on, this is apparently his entrance music now. You going down. Okay, then. Should I do another one?
No.
Should I?
No.
Okay.
I've already previewed the album. I've already heard how bad it is.
What would you say is the worst song? If you've already previewed all the songs, what's the worst one?
Pick one. They're all equally as terrible.
They're all bad. How about I'm Too Sexy?
Jabroni. Yo, that one's... Oh, I don't think I got that far.
Grandmaster, you know what I mean. And I do the hip-hop drop off the top rope. Yeah, off the top rope. Off the top rope. Yeah, I fly like a bird off the top rope.
That did not just happen. That can't be real. That's, oh my god. Oh shit, this is bad.
I have ear cancer now.
Yeah, I think we all do. Oh my god.
I have hearing aids.
George, you had to stop coming to the show. This totally needs you shitting on it, George.
We need George for this. This is bad.
This, we've actually found something that pip farting on the snare drum sounds better than. And Michael Cole's commentary sounds better than.
Holy crap, the Cleveland Browns are kicking some ass today.
Yeah, I know.
I just happened to glance at the NFL scores. Anyway, so what else you got for us, G? You said he had some more news.
A couple little tidbits of note. This is the one that probably would get missed by most that I like. There's a new film that was made, a documentary, and it's based around the Owen Hart Foundation. And it looks at what the Owen Hart Foundation has been doing over the last 15 years. And it's going to debut in Monaco in December and hopefully be available to the rest of us somewhere in some form and fashion in the future. It's more... These guys basically are, you know... It's a charitable organization that helps out people in my city. Sorry, they're local. But on the same token, it's Owen Hart. I know a lot of people, big, you know, fans of wrestling, probably would like to know what maybe an organization named after a longtime favorite has been doing. So that's a nice little tidbit I wanted to bring up to your attention. But we're going to have to wait a while before that's available, unless you're going to be in Monaco anytime soon.
Right.
We have a couple more things. Robbie and Brooke Testmaster, or the Assmaster, they have survived on the Amazing Race yet another week. Yay! And then Kurt Angle, rumors were flying rampant. Apparently, he has had contact with the WWE, has officially expired. His contract, that part is the only thing I can confirm, but been hearing a lot of talk about that. I didn't bother putting it because it seemed to change every 4 or 5 minutes over the last couple days. But from the sounds of it, there may have been a contract offered from the WWE if he was to be able to pass a medical, which I don't think that's going to happen. But he turned it down because he doesn't want a full-time schedule, so... That is the current status of Angle. I got to skip through some other crap here. I'm just re-going through the Sunday notes over at Angry Marks. The WWE Studios movie Killing Hasselhoff is wrapped filming. That's kind of,
wait, what?
I love the title of that name. Or the title of that film.
Interesting.
There was one more thing. Oh, yeah. Two interesting returns to the wrestling ring over the last little bit. One was Alex Riley. Had a first match in a long time. And the other guy was Brad Maddox. He finally escaped from the cave.
Guess so.
And they did invite Vicky Guerrero to show up for SmackDown, but she turned it down. She said she's too busy with her new job and she can't really start a new job and ask for time off. It's not really professional. That was her statement. And yeah, can't argue with that.
Right.
Oh, this is good. Finally, of relevance, because I don't think the rest of this matters. Bully Ray and D-Von have been teasing quite heavily at the pay-per-view taping. And this isn't confirmed, so it's not really a spoiler, but been teasing that they're going to go out to New Japan and go after the tag titles. Currently held by Luke Gallows, or Doc Luke Gallows, and Machine Gun Carl Anderson of the Bullet Club. God damn, I wish they put that program on in North America with English commentary. I heard that the Chael Sonnen and Jim Ross commentary at the Battleground MMA show was actually pretty decent. And I've also heard the rumors, what we talked about last week, that they might be willing to do English commentary for New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So, Team 3D over there? Fuck yeah, sign me up, man. Get up, make all that happen. We won't be complaining so much about what happened on wrestling every week, I think, if we got that. So there you go. You got anything new that I missed?
Nope.
It's just a bunch of results and, like, school news. Like, stuff like Brian Myers, a.k.a. Curt Hawkins, and all that jive.
Yeah.
Some bullshit rumor about Randy Orton having a limited contract, and he said, hey, fuck that. That's not true.
Alrighty then.
And Tony Chimmel turned 52 yesterday.
Yay!
52!
Yeah, I miss him announcing Edge. The rated R superstar! Well, anybody else have anything to add?
Nope.
Mark?
Nope.
G?
Oh, I already added.
Yes, you did. I've got nothing. So I guess we're calling it an early day today. So in that case, I am at Think So Joe. At Random Redhead for JT. At Mark underscore Noise for Mark. At G of the Internet for G. We are at Wrestling Fan. That's Board Wrestling Fan Without Vowels. Facebook.com/Board Wrestling Fan. And BoardWrestlingFan.com for all our great content. BWFRadio.com to listen to this show live every week. Sundays at 2 p.m. Eastern. And if you miss it live, iTunes, Stitcher, CheapHeat.com, BoardWrestlingFan.com to download the podcast. And yeah, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, for the next week. And beyond.
And beyond. We're coming up on 3 years!
Even flow.